Coming to you on some serious tape delay via a podcast near you. From that hockey hotbed of San Jose, California, it's Dudes on Hockey.
He is now accepting callers. He is calling me Dude.
And now, your hosts, Mike and Doug.
Hey there, welcome to Dudes on Hockey, episode 34. I'm Mike, that's Doug.
Dude?
Dude, what's up? Or as I like to call it, the Patrick Rissmiller Dudes on Hockey episode.
Number 34.
Also, Yves Racine.
Nice. What number do you think Patrick Rissmiller is wearing in Hartford?
Negative 10, I believe, is what he's wearing.
I didn't see Rissmiller walking around the Big Apple this weekend.
Neither did I.
Because he wasn't there, but we were.
He's having fun in Hartford.
With Sean Avery. Do you think they're roomies?
It could be. I think Rissmiller sleeps in the bathtub.
You have to explain that now.
Okay, there was a wacky video that came out with these two guys that do a video hockey podcast, and they interviewed Patrick Rissmiller, and they were all sitting in the bathtub in somebody's house, and they interviewed Patrick Rissmiller while at least Patrick Rissmiller was sitting in the bathtub, and it was actually pretty damn funny, I gotta say.
Well, maybe he should turn to comedy, because I don't think his hockey career is really working out for him. Dude, we had a great trip.
We did. We went to the East Coast, went to New York City, and the real reason why we went is so we could actually visit the Sharks at the New Jersey Prudential Center.
I thought we went for the Broadway shows.
No, maybe you did, but I went for the game.
Well, I went for the game.
That's why we scheduled it at the time, is to see the Sharks, and it was a great game, and we did see some Broadway shows, and we had a great New York experience.
We sure did.
Including a visit to the NHL store.
We did. With a special guest.
A special guest. We went to the NHL store a few minutes before noon, and noon is when they start broadcasting our favorite radio show, which is NHL Live with Don LaGreca. And often on Fridays, they have EJ Raddick. And sure enough, there was EJ wandering around the store. We came up, said hi, had a nice conversation with him.
He couldn't have been more gracious. He was awesome, and he talked to us about the Sharks for about 10 minutes and sort of shared his personal feelings about the Sharks, and that you know, we all should definitely sort of ride the wave right now and definitely not push the panic button, which I think is something that how we already felt. But he likes the Sharks' chances, and he was very candid and great conversation. He didn't have to talk to us for that long, you know, but we talked to him for at least 10 minutes.
Yeah, we gave him plenty of opportunities for him to say, I got to go, you know, the show's starting soon and all this kind of stuff. But no, he asked us questions about stuff, about our trip and what we were doing. And actually, he even gave a little mention to us on NHL Live. And so I pulled the clip. So here, let me play it.
Nice.
By the way, because I mentioned the Sharks there, I just want to mention there's a whole family of Sharks fans that came in the store today, and I was talking to them downstairs. Very nice people, two guys, one guy and his wife, and
I think they're buying something
terrific
right now. So
yeah, terrific people.
Keeping
they are,
in the story, Jay worked.
Yeah. So anyway, it's nice that people come in, and you know, there you go.
Wave to them.
Yeah. There they are. Waving to the camera. By the way, because I mentioned the show.
Okay, there. But anyway, so, you know, that was kind of a nice little mention.
Yeah, it was awesome. And by the way, the purchase was a beautiful NHL black fleece and a Joe Pavelski candy player card.
Yeah.
It's an edible player card with Joe Pavelski's face on it, and it's chocolate. And I'm glad to say that Pavelski right now has no eyes or nose.
He just ate around him.
It's delicious. Well, because of our flight back, we had a terrible experience on our flight back, 9 hours from JFK with a pit stop in Las Vegas. And actually, we were on the same flight as David Pollock, Sharks beat writer. But we didn't think that was probably an appropriate time to go and tap him on the shoulder and ask him what's really wrong with Marcel Gotch.
Yeah. Talk about being cornered. I mean, he's literally trapped in the plane. And we're like, hey, so about the Sharks. I'm sure he just wanted to get home and
absolutely
not think about hockey and plane trips, because, you know, he followed the Sharks around for the entire road trip. But the whole EJ thing, it really worked out great. It was really a lot of fun. And like you said, he could not have been nicer.
Yeah, he was great. He was great. And getting out to the game was an experience. Going to the Rock was pretty easy. We took the train from Penn Station, right over, walked into the Rock. The fans there were awesome, actually. Very kind. We got some grief on after the game, but during the game, people were cool. But there's a guy dressed up like a devil, shaves his head, paints himself completely red, and
puts on the horns. He has this like long black trench coat thing, and he really goes all out.
Yeah, no, he was fired up. And our section, dude, was pretty special.
Yeah, we had Sharks fans to the right of us. We had Sharks fans to the left of us. We had Sharks fans behind us. I mean, it was like the visiting section. It was so funny. And, you know, we struck up a conversation with all the Sharks fans around us. And it's pretty amazing how many people have ties to the Bay Area. So that's pretty much what it was. You know, people had moved out to various other places from San Jose and either maintained their Sharks loyalty or suddenly found it when the Sharks started playing well. I didn't exactly pry into how that happened, but it was nice to have some friendly people around us as we cheered on the teal.
We even met up with some other season ticket holders who made the trip.
We did. That was really strange how we knew people that were actually going out there as well. So some buddies of mine actually did the entire followed the Sharks for the entire road trip except for Columbus, so they managed to see four of the five games. That must have been a pretty cool experience as well.
So great stadium, great trip.
Not a great game.
It
was a great game, not a great outing for the Sharks. I mean, they took five penalties in the third period. They didn't have Dan Boyle. He was out with the flu. It was an unfortunate game. You know, the Sharks really made it exciting. There was a lot of exciting plays, but you know, the Devils scored on a weak shot 30 seconds in. I mean, it sucked. You know, you're just sitting there going, "What?" There was a couple of plays. There was several plays like that. Where
if I have to hear the BC, E, and G power play chant again from the Devils fans, that got irritating. How many power plays were there?
There were five in the third. The Sharks took five minors in the third. So that was really, including a 5-on-3 chance, you know, a limited 5-on-3 chance for the Devils, which they did not convert on. But it was just a very disappointing game. It was kind of a sloppy play by the Sharks. They seemed, you know, sort of lethargic at times. I guess, you know, the flu's really been rocking through that locker room. I'm sure Boyle wasn't the only one who was suffering. I'm sure there were guys playing that were suffering from the flu at the same time. One thing I did want to mention that I just thought about is that, you know, Claude Lemieux actually started the game with Joe on the top line. Mm-hmm. And there was no recognition of Claude by the, you know, stadium, by the Jumbotron. They didn't show his face for give people the opportunity to welcome him back or any of that stuff. And I know,
not at all. And I know he wasn't actually listed in the starting lineup either.
No.
McClellan just kind of slid him in there.
Mm-hmm.
And that game, Lemieux only played 6 minutes.
Right. He sort of played his regular amount. But, you know, I thought it was a little weird that they didn't give him the opportunity to be cheered by, you know, the home fans where you won a Conn Smythe and all that kind of stuff.
His first game in a Sharks uniform, they put him up on the Jumbotron in the first 5 minutes of the game.
Right.
Lemieux got applause tonight for losing a fight. And a standing ovation when he came back out. I mean, he's like a little bit of a folk hero already just in 10 games for the Sharks. Yeah. So, the result was disappointing. I think the sloppiness of the Sharks' play in the last 2 weeks was really evident in the New Jersey game, and we had a kind of a perfect view sitting in the front of what they would consider the mezzanine section there at the Rock, and you could see some of the players, especially Cashbar, looking completely lost out there on their defensive assignments.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. And there were times tonight where I saw the same thing. He seemed to be going the wrong way. I expected him to pick up a guy or challenge the puck carrier, and he wouldn't. And, you know, what that guy does, I don't understand sometimes. But, you know, we should talk about the rest of the week because, you know, we missed some other games have happened since we had our last podcast. We're not going to talk too much about them because, I mean, there were losses. There's no reason to dwell on them. There were disappointing losses in overtime. You know, after the Boston win, we lost to Buffalo, which was unfortunate, but in Pittsburgh, both in overtime. And the Sharks, actually, I put on the blog, is that the Sharks are 1-7 in their last 8 games that went to overtime. And that includes overtime losses and shootout losses. And
right.
Sharks are just brutal in overtime right now. It's just, I hope they don't go to overtime period because I figure they're going to lose. And I'm glad there's no shootout in the playoffs.
Now you're being a little dramatic, dude. Now it's like you're still on Broadway. Dude, can I share with the listeners some of the Broadway shows that we didn't see?
Okay.
Because we did see Will Ferrell.
Yes.
Live in his Thank You America, George Bush show. It was hilarious.
Yes.
Really funny.
It was really
funny. But there are some other shows that I thought were interesting that are on Broadway right now.
Okay.
There's a new Broadway musical about how the Montreal Canadiens play like sissies. It's called Geese and Dolls. You heard of that one?
No, I didn't know
this. How about this one, dude? Okay. He's hairless. He farts all the time. He has no neck. Barry Trotz and Shrek the Musical. I got more.
Okay, do you?
A musical about how the Ducks have lost their place at the top of the division, South Pacific.
Hey, that's pretty good.
Thank you. A musical about a young red-headed hockey player who wants to be close to home, Brian Campbell and Mamma Mia.
I thought you were going to say Brian Campbell and Annie.
Well, that's not on Broadway right now. Okay, this here, and an old classic that's just gotten worse and more tacky as time trickles on. Close your five hole and buy tickets for Phantom of the Osgood.
Very good, dude. Plenty of NHL-related music.
So, and it's too bad we couldn't catch all of them.
Yeah,
But we just didn't have the time.
No, we were quite busy in New York and running around doing all sorts of things, but... It was a good trip was had by all. I'm sorry we couldn't see some of those excellent musicals that were there.
Geese and Dolls.
Geese and Dolls, starring Oliver Platt.
Not starring Alexei Kovalev.
That's right.
Stay home.
That's right. Yeah, just go home and watch TV for us.
Ouch. Ouch, dude. He's the hometown hero in the All-Star game, and then could you just...
The captain.
Could you just stay home?
Yeah, just don't come into work.
Actually, yeah, we don't need you to work. It's like those forced vacation days, dude.
He's like a corn farmer. We'll pay you not to farm.
Can you please just stay home? Isn't there something good on French Canadian television that you need to watch? Something.
We got to talk about the Oilers game because that's where we just got back from, and it was a good turnaround by the Sharks. A good effort. It was another penalty ridden affair, actually. And, the fights, and there was definitely some bad blood there that as Dan Rusinowski said on the post game, it seemed to be certainly the Oilers' intent to go out and try and stir the pot with the Sharks, see if they could get them off their game by antagonizing them, and it didn't really work.
Yeah. I'm laughing because I'm looking at the second period penalty summary here.
Yeah, it's like a whole
hilarious
page.
I think there were a bunch of fighting majors, roughings. It was pretty, pretty funny. But The Oilers came in tonight, I felt like they came with the attitude like they thought they were going to kick our butt. Mm-hmm. Like I think they thought the Sharks were down and they were going to run us over. And I really loved how the Sharks responded tonight. And I'm a fan of Patrick Marleau on the third line because, we had three good lines tonight. Mike Greer was the second star. Chi-Chi was the third star. Marleau was the first star. So that third line... All three stars.
Right.
They played great.
And Joe Thornton scored, so that was, clearly... And I thought the Pavelski line did well. I thought the Pavelski line played pretty well tonight, even though they were held off the score sheet pretty much. But, three lines that can score. The one problem with the three lines that can score route is that you got Lukáš Kašpar in the first line, and I thought he was kind of a disaster again.
I don't think that's going to stick. It's possible that this could stick as far as Marleau being the third line center, and I know that's... a little bit up for debate, but the Sharks being able to roll those three lines consistently, and Marleau jumped up and played on the top line a little bit.
Yeah, they were really shuffling quite a bit there still, but you would see those lines sort of come together and coalesce sort of recurringly throughout the game, but sometimes you'd see some weird lines. You see, Joe and Lemieux out there and stuff like that, but
you can't say Kašpar. He played 10:45 tonight,
right?
Not really exactly true.
That's not top line minutes. Numbers. Yeah.
He didn't play any special teams on either side. Can you imagine him on the kill?
No, thank God, no.
Yeah. You have to keep all sharp objects away from Tom McClellan. Put him on the kill. Yeah. Ouch.
Seriously, but yeah, Patty had a great game. Shorthanded goal, which was a thriller. Great speed by Patty. Greer made a perfect pass, and Patty just skated right by Sheldon Surrey, which I thought was pretty funny, and put it right on Patty's stick, and he just slammed it into the goal. So,
great. What do you think Peckham said to Lemieux tonight that got him so mad?
I think he said something about him being old or something. I wouldn't think that Lemieux would go for that. I mean, Lemieux got an extra 10 minutes because he took a couple swings at Peckham after the linesman had both tried to tie him up. So
I think he actually hit the linesman on accident. He was really upset about something.
Yeah.
How about that Semenov-Stortini bout?
Yeah, not good.
No.
It
looked like it was going to be okay for a little bit,
yeah.
And then Stortini just pounded him.
Yeah, and then Semenov sort of went for the body shot, and then it sort of went downhill from there.
Stortini's totally classless though.
Yeah.
He threw his, like, after the fight, he like threw his hair back like freaking Fabio and it started almost like he was going to do like a victory lap.
Yeah, he was like smiling and stuff.
Yeah, it's like he's a tool.
I was expecting him to like point at the crowd or something, or like raise his arms in triumph.
He's
like
a tool, man.
It's like you beat Semenov. Congratulations.
Yeah. Way to go. Yeah. You beat the guy that we hope he bleeds so we get an extra penalty. Good job. I'm not a Stortini fan, guy.
But it was a good effort by the Sharks. I mean, the Oilers are a team that's given the Sharks some trouble earlier in the year, and the Sharks beat him pretty handily.
It's another potential first-round matchup, and I think that we feel much more comfortable with this than we do a team like Columbus.
Yeah, that's right. Playing Edmonton in the first round right now does not scare me in the least.
No.
Does not scare me in the least. So we need to move on to the next stuff because we got some good emails this week. Got three new emails, so I want to touch on each of them. First one is about Claude Lemieux. It's our friend Chris, who is titling himself a Wings fan in Sharks land, which is pretty good. That's a pretty good title, I suppose. Although the fact is he is a Wings fan. And he says, okay, Teenage Mutant Ninja Claude made his comeback at the ripe young age of 43, but putting his name and number on the back of your sweater, seriously? On the surface, that would likely be as regrettable as all those teal Brian Campbell jerseys that I still see at the Tank. Don't do it, dude. You're a knowledgeable hockey fan, and this would damage your credibility. Link Gates would be a better option. So Doug had said in a previous show that he was going to put Lemieux on the back of his jersey. What, if the Sharks went far in the cup?
No, if we make the playoffs and Lemieux is on the playoff roster, that's what I said.
That's what you said. And you're still holding to it.
Well, I mean, yes, I'm a man of my word.
Mm-hmm.
I think it would be
as dumb as that word might be.
Dude, I think when we win the cup and Claude's got the cup over his head and I've got the Lemieux jersey on and you're sitting there in your Matt Carl jersey.
Dude, I don't have that Carl. It's been retired now.
It's been retired?
It's officially retired.
You're saying it's out of the rotation?
It's completely out of the rotation.
Am I going to see some homeless guy wandering around downtown San Jose with a Matt Carl jersey on?
I wouldn't wish that on a homeless guy.
Ouch. Come on, Chris. I mean, would you have a Ty Conklin jersey that you like to march around in?
Jimmy Howard.
Jimmy Howard, that's really worked out well.
Maybe a Yuri Hudler jersey. Yeah. Anyway, he does actually have a question. He says, all turtling aside, here's my question. There's no doubt the Sharks are a great team this year with very few, if any, holes in their lineup. That being said, which Sharks would you be most concerned about when the playoffs roll around, and who stands out as the guys most likely not to keep up the pace? Well, you know, I mean, we've sort of talked about how the third and the fourth lines are a little bit up in the air. If JR and Shelley come back, then that might be a little bit more stable, but clearly there's been sort of a rotation of guys up from the minors. McGinn, Stavitz, Kavanaugh, you know, Gotch is up and down, although now he's hurt. He's going to be out 2 or 3 weeks. We have Pleahall that's coming in and out. You know, that seems to be, you know, take your pick of any one of those guys on that list. Derek Jocelyn, I'd add to that list, and certainly Semenov. You see those guys getting regular shifts in the playoffs. Yeah, that worries me. Any of those guys, really. I mean, if those guys are getting 6 minutes a night, not that big of a deal. Sort of a, you know, it's not a huge liability, but, you know, Semenov playing late in the game with an empty net and he takes a delay of game penalty. I mean, I don't want to see that.
No.
In the playoffs. I don't want to see him out there with an empty net, 5-on-4, 6-on-4.
Please, God, no. I'll tell you who I'm concerned about, and I think I'm basing this off of last year's playoffs and not on the overall performance this season, which has been better, but Mike Greer in last year's playoffs was bad.
Mm-hmm.
He was bad. It seemed like he was in all the wrong places at all the wrong times, especially in the Dallas series. He looked lethargic. He looked out of it. And he looked tired. And we can't have that Mike Greer if we're going to be holding the Stanley Cup.
Right.
So I guess if I'm concerned about a regular, that would be the player that jumps out to me, is that we've got to have Greer at his full Greerness.
Full Greerness. Well, the third line seems to be sort of the mini theme of the show, and we'll probably be talking a little bit more about that even later on in the show. But before we get to that, I want to get to the next email.
Kurt Malkby jersey.
Anyway, Jeremy, our old friend Jeremy, writes, my apologies for not keeping up with the podcast. Boo, Jeremy.
Terrible. He's probably not even listening to hear his question answered.
Yeah, anyway. It's a dumb question anyway. I'm just kidding. It's been reported that the Sharks are on the short list of teams the NHL wants to have open the season overseas next year. And he says this has been a failure and disappointment for the teams that have opened overseas. Talking about Anaheim had a hangover after playing overseas. Los Angeles floundered. Ottawa's been lost this year. Tampa Bay's been lost. And Pittsburgh's been lost. These are all teams that have played overseas to start the season. There has been a little news on this front. It looks like the Sharks aren't going to be playing overseas to start the season next year. So I guess the Sharks are able to avoid said slump or disappointment if such a thing exists. But I think we talked about that a little bit earlier in a previous show. You know, maybe great for the NHL, but you know, and great for overseas fans of hockey, but it does seem like a little bit of a disadvantage to me, you know, especially to start the season early. And I guess luckily the Sharks have sort of dodged that bullet. And I guess we'll have to look again closely at the teams that do play overseas next year and see if they are affected, like this list that you've included here, Jeremy. So I don't really know what to make of that. I guess the Sharks are lucky not to be doing that, I guess. Hmm?
If by overseas you mean Hawaii, I'm in. And right. I think the guys would be in too. I wouldn't be excited about it. I was actually disappointed when I saw, and nervous when I saw that, you know, playing against Calgary in, where was it going to be? Sweden?
Finland, maybe?
Finland, you know, basically a home game for Kiprusoff, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, no thanks. Not that interested, and I hope that at least it seems like for next year it's not going to happen, but. I wouldn't be that excited as a fan. Have to get up at 4 a.m. to watch the game.
Yeah, no thanks.
No thanks.
Let's get to our last email with Chris from Boston. So, Chris, thanks for emailing us again. He actually he was lucky enough to catch the game in Boston, and he says, Dan Boyle is such a pleasure to watch. But his question is, what do you dudes think about the play of Claude Lemieux so far? Getting the chance to watch him live was eye-opening. He's constantly getting into altercations with players and the other team on the way to the bench, and he even did a little pump fake to the face of one of the Boston players. How do you feel about having a true agitator on the team? Have the Sharks ever had someone playing that role before, and do you think it might upset the chemistry of the team at all? So, you know, I mean, we love Claude Lemieux. We're Claude Lemieux fans. There's no question. I love having Claude Lemieux on this team. I think he's certainly earned his roster spot. He's certainly made a name for himself or separated himself outside the other players that we listed earlier that have been sort of in the rotation from Worcester, and he's managed to hold on. I think he's playing his 10th game or 11th game tonight, so I don't see any reason why he wouldn't be on the team. And
he was huge tonight. Yeah. I mean, they really were pushing the Sharks around a little bit, and Lemieux was in the middle of a lot of it. And
I love having an agitator, but the Sharks have had other agitators in their history. I mean, Brian Marchman was an agitator, certainly played defense, but he was an agitator. I mean, there's been other guys. Tony Granato was a little bit of a pest when he played. You know, that was sort of his style. So there's been other agitators on this team. And in terms of upsetting the team chemistry, I think I think there's no danger of that. I mean, Claude Lemieux, from everything I've heard in interviews and everything else, he's understanding his role. He's, you know, he says, I'm going to play the role that the coaches want me to play. This is the style of play that I've played my entire career. They know it. They know what they're going to get when they put me out there, and I'm not going to change that. And if you start talking about a Sean Avery kind of thing, I mean, the big differentiator, I think, with Sean Avery is that it's what he does off the ice. It's what he does with his players, with his own teammates. It's what he does, you know, making comments in the media and so forth. I mean, I thought it was pretty funny. But, you know, by a lot of accounts, he's really alienated a lot of guys he played with. And that's the kind of stuff you don't want in the locker room. And I've never heard that attached to Lemieux's name ever in his entire long career.
Now, Avery's a clown. Lemieux's a professional.
That's right.
End of story.
Yeah, it's just that simple. All right, so we do want to get to our new kick-ass Moving On Up segment. This is a segment where we're talking about which players might be on the move between now and the trade deadline. But not the normal players you're thinking about. The players, you know, might be a little bit off the radar, maybe a little wacky ideas, but interesting nonetheless.
Geese and Dolls.
Yeah, Geese and Dolls. Well, this week is a little bit of a special Moving On Up because we're talking about the Sharks' needs. We've been talking about the Sharks' third line. And one thing we've been discussing off the air is that the Sharks may need a third line center. You know, if Marcel Gotch continues to be injured, and there's been a recent rumor about a third line center maybe on the move to the Sharks, and that guy is Jeff Halpern. So maybe Moving On Up is Jeff Halpern, currently playing for the Lightning. He played for Washington previously to that, and he's sort of this third line center guy that maybe the Sharks could use.
Yeah.
There was an interesting article on Sharks Page, actually, about Jeff Halpern. So, you know, it was an interesting look at that, kind of in depth, and I think it could make a lot of sense to get a guy like that, depending on what the Sharks would have to give up in return. That might be the kind of move the Sharks might make between now and the deadline.
Halperin showed last year when he got traded to Tampa, he can score, but his main role, I think he had 18 goals in 19 games, but his main role in his career has been, you know, as a third line center. He plays mainly, I think, in special teams situations. Not a player that we're totally familiar with. We've seen him when he played for Dallas, but Halperin's the type of guy who probably could slide right into the lineup, and he could even drop down to the fourth line and be effective if they went with Marlowe. I think he's an upgrade over Gotch or Veshey or Kashbar or McGinn at this point. Another veteran player to add to the mix that would be not too terribly expensive if the price is right. What would be the right price to you for someone like Halperin?
Well, yeah, I mean, it would have to be sort of a low draft pick, I think, would be sort of the, you know, a 4, 5, 6 round.
Kind We're not talking about an old man here either. He's 32.
Mm-hmm. That's true. That's true.
So
I got some other centers that maybe might be interesting.
I've got three for you too.
Okay,
I wonder if we've got the same list.
Okay, here's one that could really be interesting. Sort of a little Claude Lemieux reunion. Bobby Holík.
Ooh. Now,
Bobby Holík is only making $2.5 million this year. He's unrestricted next year.
Why would the Devils trade him when they're
because
in the
middle he's of playing
a play?
No minutes. He played 5 minutes in the San Jose game. He is not playing.
But those are effective minutes that they need. To the same 5 minutes we would need from him.
Maybe.
I wouldn't mind having him. I think he's would be a fun player to have on the team. But
if we're talking about a guy that fits the mold of a third line center that the Sharks could use.
Sure.
I mean, do you want to get a guy that's, you know, a third line center for a bad team that would really be a fourth line center for the Sharks? That doesn't really make sense.
No.
You want a guy like Bobby Holík. What about Glenn Metropolit?
Another great example, but I don't see him moving, dude.
Yeah, I know. The Flyers picked him up, but the Flyers have a lot of centers right now. So, you know, I could see them. We've talked about them maybe moving Mike Knuble. They can move Glenn Metropolit. It doesn't make a lot of money, so it wouldn't be a huge cap relief. But right. That would be another, at least in the mold of, I'm not really talking about the kind of guys that the Sharks would necessarily could go get, but the kind of guys that the Sharks might look for.
Sure. Those are two good examples of types of players we'd want.
Mm-hmm. What do you got?
I've got Mike Sillinger.
His eighth NHL team.
Dude. Wins a lot of faceoffs.
Mike Sillinger
is the... When you look up third line center, you see Mike Sillinger.
That's true.
How about Mike Comrie?
Yeah. Mike Comrie.
Feisty. Faceoffs. Yeah. Can play the kill. Here's one a little bit out of left field.
Okay.
Phoenix, I have determined, is slowly going in the toilet.
Right.
They're going to start doing a little fire sale. What about Steven Reinprecht?
Maybe.
A little off the map.
Yeah.
Maybe not the traditional third line center, but the Sharks aren't necessarily in a traditional third line center mold because McClellan wants to be able to run three skilled lines, flip them pretty evenly throughout the game. So Reinprecht, only making $2 million unrestricted after the year. Maybe he's the type of guy you might see the Sharks make a run at for the, you know, maybe it would only cost him a third or a fourth round draft pick.
That's right. That's right. So maybe that's the kind of guy you're interested in. If Sharks fans want to hear what you think.
What kind of guys are you interested in, Sharks fans?
Yeah, I want to know.
Third line centers, maybe an agitator. How about a feisty instigator? Call this number at the trade deadline to get your power play trade. Go Sharks.
Questions at dudesonhockey.com is the email address. You can email us. And well, let's wrap up the show with a preview. We got you know, two more home games, and then the Sharks are on the road again. These are two very winnable games, Kings and Atlanta, in the afternoon on Saturday. So I'd say these are, you know, Sharks got to get at least 3 points in the next two games, if not all 4 points, or else it could be pretty disappointing, because then the Sharks go on the road at Dallas, at Detroit, at Ottawa, at Montreal. Those are all very losable games on the road, and I think the Sharks are going to want to try and stockpile some points before they hit the road again, don't you think?
Yeah, the Kings were streaking in the right direction, and now they've lost three in a row.
Mm-hmm.
So they dropped one to Edmonton on Saturday. They lost to Hotlanta.
Mm-hmm.
7-6 last night. I listened to a little bit of it on the plane. Thrilling. Thrilling. Yeah, we're catching the Kings. They're playing in Anaheim tomorrow night.
Right.
So we get them on the bad end of a back-to-back, which will be helpful to the Sharks. And the Thrashers have won 3 out of 4 in their last 3 road games. Mm. So I don't think we should take them lightly, and they're certainly lighting up the score sheet. 8-4 win over the Ducks, 7-6 over the Kings.
Yeah.
They're playing Phoenix. That's probably going to be 7-2 win for them, the way they're going. So they'll come in feeling pretty confident. So that's no gimme, and the Sharks in the afternoon is certainly no gimme.
That's right. Sharks play weird in the afternoon. You never know what's going
to
happen.
Dude, you want to go to Henry's after the game?
Yeah, absolutely.
Nice.
Yeah, Henry's.
Yeah.
Henry's High Life, for those of you who don't know it, is a couple blocks away from the Tank. Got some beer. They got some good steaks.
Beef.
Ribs.
Ribs.
It's good times. Anyway. But, yeah, Dallas, you know, Dallas, the one thing, it's sort of a, we can say it's sort of a shootout topic, but, you know, Richards just went out with a wrist injury, so now they have 2 great players that are out probably for the year.
I'm thinking of a word.
Mm-hmm.
Screwed? To describe. Well, I was actually thinking good.
Oh.
Good. As in good. I'm glad he's hurt.
Oh, okay. I thought you meant like the Stars are screwed, which they probably are.
No, you know, they've been surging, but 6 weeks, that's going to be tough for them. Schneider to the Canadiens for a second and a third round pick, dude. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a panic move by the Canadiens. you know, I got to pat myself on the back. I said Mark Streit leaving the Canadiens was going to hurt. Their power play went in the tank, and they're reeling a little bit. Of course, it's not all because Mark Streit left, but they're trading for Matthew Schneider, who is, what, kind of like Mark Streit. You know, you could say he's better, you could say he's worse, he's certainly older. But it's a panic move by the Canadiens. They need to make the playoffs right now. And they're really wobbling around. They sent they sent Kositsyn down to the minors today or something? They sent somebody down to the minors today.
They sent Ryan O'Byrne down.
I thought they sent somebody else down.
They might have sent someone else down. I'm not sure.
Anyway, any other NHL news you want to mention?
Dude, I want to see if you can figure out who in the last 10 games, who is the worst team in the NHL? Their record is 1-9 in the last 10.
The Rangers?
No. 2-6-2, they're close. Worst team?
I'm going to say man, this sucks. Vancouver.
No.
Who is it?
Vancouver, 6-2-2. Phoenix.
Phoenix?
1-9-0.
So they're
someone should fire the owner / coach / president.
Oh, wait. You can't do that.
Oops.
You should fire the greatest player in hockey history.
Wait. You mean Link Gates?
Yeah. I do mean that. Thanks. Put him on the back of your jersey.
Yeah. I'm going to throw him on the back of my jersey.
All right. Well, that does it for this week's Dudes on Hockey. You can find our blog on the web at sharks.hockeyanalysis.com. And make sure to tune in again next week, same time, same place.
How's that Bertuzzi jersey looking out?
Think the show sucks? Want to get your questions on the air? Email questions at dudesonhockey.com. Dudes on Hockey is not affiliated with the San Jose Sharks organization or the National Hockey League.